Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love. CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic health share ministry to provide an affordable health sharing program rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthshare.com. CMF Curo, healthcare fully alive.
Well, it is Advent, which means that Christmas is around the corner. There's so many events and opportunities, so many good and great things to do and see and be a part of. It can all start to feel like a burden instead of a blessing. And that's a liability of this time of year. To help us stay focused on the blessing part and to grow in appreciation, we're kicking off a brand new message series for the season that's going to take us all the way through Christmas Eve. This series is all about cultivating a spirit of thanksgiving, an attitude of gratitude. You know, ingratitude is a trap. It's a trap that we can get stuck in. And the problem is that ingratitude is incompatible with happiness. Where does it come from, ingratitude? Well, it springs from various sources, an unfair or simply too high expectation of the people around us that goes unmet, a sense of entitlement, an attitude that you owe me something, pride, I'm all alone and on my own, and thanks very much, but I don't need your help. Wounds, I've been hurt in life, and I stay focused on the hurt. Sloth, sometimes ingratitude is just a lazy way of thinking. Or selfishness, I never really look beyond myself and my own needs. On the other hand, study after study shows there's no practice more effective at increasing happiness and well-being than practicing gratitude. You probably don't need scientific studies and research to tell you that. Happiness and gratitude go hand in hand, because you already know that. Your own life experience validates it. When you're focused on the good things in life and are thankful for them, you feel better. You're probably healthier and more productive. And relationships with family and friends are stronger and more successful. It's not about ignoring problems or being falsely optimistic. Psychology, our own experience, and in fact, all of Scripture tells us of the benefits of gratitude. It's in our very best interest to grow in gratitude. There's no question about that. The question is, how? How do we do it? Last week, as we kicked off this series, we talked about some steps. Three steps, actually. Three simple steps that are needed and necessary. They're simple, they're just not easy. They require discipline and dedication, focus and commitment. The first step that we actually need to take is to recognize the gifts and blessings that we're given. You know, gratitude is about appreciation for something or lots of things or everything. If we don't see it, we can hardly appreciate it. Admittedly, that can be difficult when things are going poorly or when the going gets rough. But we need to recognize it in order to appreciate it. The second step is the step that we often overlook or miss entirely, turning our attention from the gift toward the giver of the gift. turning our attention from the gift to the giver of the gift. When day after day we consciously choose to recognize God as the giver of our gifts and blessings, we know more deeply His love for us. His love moves from being an amorphous love for humanity to a love for me, personally. His love is personal. His gifts are personal. And that offers me a personal relationship with Him. The more we turn to God when we recognize His blessings, the more clearly we'll know His personal love for us. The third step is obvious and simple. We got to practice. Any good habit requires practice. We've got to practice gratitude. Today, we want to look at what can get in the way of us appreciating, of us seeing the blessings and gifts God gives us. What can steal our gratitude? And to do it, we're going to look at a passage from the Gospel of Luke. There are four Gospels, as you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Each tells the same story of Jesus' life from a slightly different perspective. Gospel means good news. Everything about the life and teaching of Jesus is good news. It's good news for us. It's news to feel good about and be grateful for, even when Scripture doesn't sound like good news. And that's important to note as we look at today's Scripture, because Jesus is describing in today's Scripture a time of trouble, a time of great trial and tribulation. And He's warning the apostles about the future destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. For the Jewish people, the temple was the place where heaven and earth met. And Jesus is warning the disciples not to confuse their faith in God with their appreciation for this church building. Just as these days, we might do well to remember not to confuse our faith in God with church leaders or the hierarchy. Pious Jews of that time would have viewed the temple as God's dwelling on earth, the only place to worship God or even encounter Him and talk to Him. And Jesus is speaking about an end to that temple worship, because He's launching a new time, a new era, in which the meeting place between God and humanity is not a church building necessarily, but the body of Christ, the gathering, the assembly of the faithful in Christ, wherever that happens to be. However, in order to fully usher in this new era, the symbol of the old era had to be laid aside and ultimately destroyed. In that destruction, Jesus warns in a kind of dire warning. People will die of fright in anticipation of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. People will die of fright. That, of course, is hyperbole. We use it too. We say, "I was scared to death," or "they were scared to death." And Jesus is warning that in the destructive period that will mark the end of the temple, people will be genuinely frightened. The foundation of their faith will be shaken. The political crisis that provoked the destruction of the temple by the Roman army in 70 AD would become a crisis of faith. Same can happen to us. We lose sight of God's blessing when we're facing great big problems. Experiencing great challenges or changes can be difficult to be grateful. And if that's you, if you're facing some great big challenge or change right now, you might find it difficult, incredibly difficult, to be grateful. Maybe you're out of work, looking for a job, and you're scared. You're scared you're not going to find work. Maybe a loved one is facing some kind of major health challenge right now, and you're scared. You're scared to death about how this might turn out. Maybe you're having difficulty right now because you were rejected from early acceptance at the college of your choice. You're not performing in class or on the team as you would like to. Maybe you've experienced some major setback when it comes to pursuing your goals and your dreams for your business or in your career, and you're not grateful. You're annoyed. Or maybe you're struggling in your marriage right now, or you're struggling to even find a spouse, that person that you want in your life. You're not grateful. You're disappointed, disillusioned. Maybe the problem you're facing right now is financial. It's a financial problem. That's what happens in the holiday classic, It's a Wonderful Life. Everything is picture perfect in George Bailey's life until it's not. Until suddenly he finds himself owing $8,000. The stress of that debt, which is an insurmountable debt for him, erases any sense of gratitude or value in his life, his family, his marriage, his kids, his career, his business, his coworkers, his community that he's invested his life in. It all suddenly means nothing to him in the face of that insurmountable debt, and it leads him to desperation and despair. The pain and problems of life can be all we see sometimes, but Christ teaches that doesn't have to be the case. They will see, the faithful will see, the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these signs begin to happen, stand firm and raise your heads, because your redemption is near at hand. What does that mean? Well, the Son of Man was a title that Jesus used about himself because it intends to suggest both his humanity and his divinity. Jesus Christ is 100% God and 100% human. So that means he understands the problems that we have. He's experienced them firsthand. He knows what it means to be abandoned by friends and betrayed by close associates. He knows how it feels to be unpopular, to be criticized, to be called names, to be bullied and harassed. He's been there in disappointments and loneliness and unfair judgment. As Son of Man, he knows all of that because he's fully human, but he's also fully divine. And that means that he not only understands our problems, he also has the power to do something about them, to change them, or at least to give us the strength, the fortitude, the courage to deal with them. That's why he counsels his faithful followers to stand firm, to raise your heads, because your redemption is at hand. What does that mean? Your redemption is at hand. Well, it can mean lots of things. It can mean that he's using the problems you're experiencing right now to change and transform your character, to strengthen your heart, to mend and mold you in a new way, to prepare you for what's next, the next chapter in your life, to prepare an outcome unknown to you or through you, to do the same for someone else. Because our faith teaches us that good can come from evil. God really does use all things to work together for us. And his will is that all people are saved and come to knowledge of the truth. Faith means being grateful to God in advance of the blessing. Think about that as an attitude toward life. Being grateful to God in advance of the blessing. Big problems are a problem, to be sure, when it comes to gratitude. But you know what? So are little ones. And the Lord knew that as well. That's why he counsels us, be aware that your hearts do not become drowsy from carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of daily life that catch you by surprise. I think it's so interesting, the association he makes between drunkenness and anxiety, because both conditions are mind-altering. We're not thinking right when we're under the influence of alcohol or anxiety. Anxiety is a terrible thing. Everyday little fears and worries about time, about money, about family and friends, about coworkers and classmates and work stuff and school stuff. The daily anxieties of life, they're a trap. And in it, we lose sight of our reasons to be grateful. And the busier we are, the more we've got to do, the fuller our schedule, the better chance we run of being trapped. And obviously, all of this accelerates this time of year. We can't slow the world down. We can't even slow the season down much as we'd like to, but we can sure slow ourselves down. Did you know firefighters are taught to rush to a fire, but slow down once they get there? Slow down to assess the situation and figure out what's going on. Good advice. When we find ourselves getting anxious or upset, our tendency is to want to speed up and deal with it and do something about it, but actually, we really want to do the opposite. When daily anxieties are bothering us, we need to slow down. We need to slow down because faith means being grateful for the blessings behind the burdens. Faith means being grateful for the blessing behind the burden. And to recognize that, we need to slow down. School might be a challenge for you right now, but if you stop to think about it, you can thank God for the opportunity that it's giving you. Your daily commute might be a headache, but you can stop and think about this. You've got things to do and places to go and a rich, full life that you're actually enjoying. Your siblings might be a disappointment and a hassle, but if you stop to think about it, you really love them. And what would you do without them? Thank God for the job that you've got, even though it's a headache. Or your house, even though it's a mess and there's so many things you want to do with it, but it's home. Or your kids, even though they drive you crazy sometimes, you also get a kick out of them. We can be grateful. We can be grateful in our problems. We can be grateful for the great big problems because they're opportunities for God to show his faithfulness and to come through for us. We can be grateful for our great big problems because we know that God can use them in great big ways to change and transform us or maybe the people around us. And we can be grateful for the small ones too, because they so often spring from blessings that we often take for granted or lose sight of. Often we can miss out on gratitude simply because we come to think somehow that we're entitled to a trouble-free life, but we're not. The greater our sense of entitlement, the more difficult it's going to be to grow in gratitude. God never promised a problem-free life. Scripture nowhere suggests that we'll be insulated from adversity or misfortune. The promise that is given is that adversity and misfortune, pain and problems, worries and anxiety can actually help grow gratitude in our hearts. So this week, Here's your homework. First, stop by our gratitude boards out on the concourse after Mass and share with us. Share with us a problem. A big problem in which you can thank God in advance of the blessing He'll provide to solve your problem, to shape your character, to bring blessing to others. Share a great big problem or a not so big problem and the blessing that's on the other side of that. And then take another moment to look at our gratitude display that we've got going on out in the Vision Cafe. Second, we continue to challenge you to 5 or 6 minutes a day, each day, every day of this Advent season, beginning today as we prepare for Christmas. And in that quiet time that you carve out for yourself, say your prayers for sure, but also take a moment to name and count your blessing from the previous 24 hours. And as this season of Advent progresses, see if your list doesn't get longer and longer. You know, elsewhere in Scripture, St. Paul tells us, give thanks in all circumstances. Why? Why would we do that? Because it's God's will. It's God's will for you to be grateful, to live your life in gratitude. If we can get good at this, if we can learn to see our blessings, no matter the circumstances, we're going to recognize more and more of them because we tend to see what we're looking for.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington. Home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.